The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com, live at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas at the Pac-12 tournament. Another year, another show. It's great being on site. Thanks to Santan Ford. Thanks to Diamond Resorts International, Mesa Gateway Airport, Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. It is so cool to be in the middle of all of it. It's like a U of A convention in Las Vegas. I think that's the only way to put it.
Oh, it's a sea of red. And although they are playing Utah, who also wears red today, there are lots of Block A's walking around the inside of MGM right now.
Meaning?
Meaning lots of people wearing U of A shirts that have Block A's on them.
And that's so. It.
That's it?
That's it. That's all that we want to see. Actually, I'm seeing a few more Arizona State people.
Agree.
Than what I was anticipating.
We saw some people out and about last night wearing ASU stuff, so hopefully their stay will last more than one day, but we will find out later on tonight.
Now, there's a lot of people that are flying up, coming in, because this is a basketball mecca. This is March Madness starts on Sunday, but really, it all gets going here. I actually prefer this than coming up to March Madness.
Really?
Because March Madness is, you know, next week will be a lot of fun. But to have all the Pac-12 schools here, last night Eric and I sat out and watched Oregon and Oregon State. It was a really good crowd. There was a buzz in the air. And, mm-hmm. you know, you walk through the hotel and there's fans from Washington wearing their jerseys and they're done. Utah, they're excited because they get U of A. Stanford played a good, hard game last night. You know, there's just a buzz up here that you don't get. And for Arizona State and Arizona basketball fans, this is their time. This is their time. And there's a lot on the line, I think.
Yeah, and there's a lot of parity in the Pac-12 this year, so anything can happen over the weekend. And if you have not made your way up to Vegas, you know, it's Thursday. You might be starting to get that cough, that little itch in the back of your throat. You know, it's a four-hour drive. There's still good seats available. Yeah, let's go.
Too well to attend.
That's it.
Too well to attend. Kyle Dodd's going to join us here in a couple of minutes. Arizona State color analyst, Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central. She's up here covering the Sun Devils and the Wildcats as well. This is one of those shows, too, where you never know who's just going to swing on by the location. And when they do come on by, we just throw them on the air. I mean, Commissioner Scott, it sounds like tomorrow is going to swing on by with us. But and there's other stuff I'm going to get to as well. I'm not just going to do a basketball show here for 2 hours, although it would be kind of fun to do that.
Would.
I'm not going to complain about that. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, you pull down on that slot, you have big winnings. We've been hearing the winnings up here in Vegas as we've been walking through the casino. It's a lot of fun to go to the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. Why not do that? They've got March Madness, their promotion going on. That you can check out as March rolls through. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. So, U of A, Utah, first game. Scottie Pippen was saying that he sees a lot of Aaron Gordon in himself.
Really?
Yeah. Now, this is a tournament where I think that players like Aaron Gordon, who nobody expects to come back to U of A after this season, nobody's expecting him to come back. This is where he needs to shine. Arizona against Utah, Arizona should win this game. There's no question that they should win this game. But you were saying last night, you know, Utah's one of these teams that's got a little bit of momentum going.
Yeah, and they're big and they're physical. And talking to some people on the plane last night, because we went up, our flight last night was either all U of A fans or for some reason all New Mexico fans. I guess the Mountain West tournament's up here too. But the U of A people were saying, you know what, if we don't make shots, we may not make it to the end of the weekend. Pretty simple. And Utah can clamp down and play good defense. So curious to see how this one plays out.
So Utah is playing U of A. Meantime, this is how busy it is here in Vegas. Utah Valley University is playing its opening game in the WAC tournament at the exact same time. They're playing Texas Pan American. BYU played three games in the past week up there. 2 miles east from the Utah Valley game against Texas Pan American, you have the Utah game here, And then you have Utah State playing number 8 San Diego State a mile away at the Thomas and Mack Center. That game, all three games are at the same time.
It's crazy.
So you have
that time of year.
Three schools from Utah all at the same time that are going to be playing. That's what this is all about. I absolutely love that. The Arizona State game, so Jahi Carson is he has a lot on the line here in this tournament. I'm going to talk about that a little bit further in the next segment, but there's just a lot on this kid because this season he really hasn't performed the way that he thought. I talked to a couple of NBA people in the last week that feel as though that he has a ton to prove and can make up some ground. Remember a guy named Ed Pinckney?
Yeah.
Remember Eddie Pinckney?
Former son.
So what happened with Eddie Pinckney? He had a terrific run in March Madness. And what did the Phoenix Suns do?
Yeah. Grabbed him with what? Top 8 pick, I believe, back in the day?
Could he play
dead? He was a what we call serviceable NBA player.
Yeah, which means he didn't do much at all.
He was a serviceable NBA player.
Yeah. So you have those types of stories, and I think for Jahi Carson, that's what this week is about. Again, I'll talk more about that here in a little bit.
And, Brad, he's played great. He played great up here last year. I mean, he really put on a show in Vegas, and I know ASU thinks they're in, and by all indications, they are in. But if they lose today, they're going to end the season on a 3-game losing streak. And a win today pretty much takes the question out of the fact that they're going to get in. So you don't want to give the committee any opportunity to keep you out.
And even if you do make it in, okay, you're not going to be in a spot where you're going to get a good seed.
No. You're going to be playing a team on the other side of the country who is probably about your equal. They'll be like 10 or an 8 or a 9 or somewhere in there.
Right. And in all likelihood, you're going to lose in the first round.
You would think so.
Yeah, so this thing could end in a hurry. But I'm going to talk more about Jahi in a little bit. A couple other things going on. So on the Suns' end of things, last night Eric and I were out at dinner and had a very, very nice time. We were at a terrific steak spot out with Tim Hovick and the good people at Santan Ford and the Arizona Ford dealers. And I notice on the bottom line that the Suns are losing. About the start of the fourth quarter, they're losing to Cleveland, and I get grumpy. Like, how is it that you can be at home and it's the stinking Cadavers? You know, and so they end up losing, and Bledsoe returns. It looked like the perfect return. Here's the thing. As we're sitting here today in Vegas poolside at the MGM, the Suns are 2 back of Memphis and Dallas for the final playoff spot.
They're sliding,
and they're doing what you don't like to see happen long term. It's something the Suns have always done. When you live by the three-point shot, you die by the three-point shot. Last night, the Suns took 36 three-pointers. Count them, 36. They made 10 of 36. They missed 26 threes last night. They had a game that you call paint chippers. Paint chippers. Game where the ball just hits the rim and chips off the paint. So Eric Bledsoe does come back. Here is Eric Bledsoe after last night's Suns game, coming up short on being back on the court.
No. Go home, go rest, get in treatment. You know, practice ain't nothing like the game. But, you know, ain't no bad sign. It's just, you know, a little bit tired.
Yeah, so he doesn't have much to say after losing. So, and if he's back long-term or not, you know, he's on the court, that's fine. Didn't help him out.
Bad loss.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody wants to build it. We have a bunch of cheerleaders. People want to see the Suns do well, but you also have to be realistic about it. This is what they are. They're not a team that you look at and say, top to bottom, boy, they're really good. And I think Goran Dragic has exerted so much energy. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had Chris Sheridan on last week. Yeah, Goran Dragic is in my top 10 of MVP candidates. You're not going to be an MVP candidate, and you're not going to be in the top 10 of anything if you end up not making the playoffs. So when fans want to go chant MVP, that's great. Knock yourselves out. It's not living in reality. It's just not.
And Chris could kind of see the future because he told you that the Suns, you know, they weren't active at the deadline. They did not bring in a name. They did not add anything to the equation, and they're going to miss the playoffs. And so far, what he said has come to fruition a couple weeks later. So,
and they play at Boston tomorrow night. I could sit here and say that's a game they should win. But you know what? for all these people that said, hey, East Coast teams are really bad. Oh, they're going to go on a run.
And you have to get on the plane. You have to go all the way across the country. It's late in the year. You're tired. Things happen. It's the NBA.
Right. A couple other things. The Cardinals signed Jared Valdir. We were out there yesterday for that. Here is Bruce Arians on adding the big left tackle to their offensive line along with Jonathan Cooper.
Big smile. You know, getting Coop back, Coop looks great. And, you know, you got to knock on wood that we have him all year. And but to have two young guys that good on the left side of the line, you can't put that into words, you know.
Well, it's terrific that they've addressed this. I'm going to go on my usual July-August rant about I hate all these preseason games because I don't want to see players sit over on the sidelines because they get beat up in training camp. Here is Steve Keim on what separated Veld here from the rest of the potential guys that could have gone after.
You know, when you start with your evaluations, you look at several other players that were out on the market, and those guys were, you know, top 10, top 20 picks coming out. A lot of things were handed to them. The one thing that I think stood out to Bruce and I about Jared is, here's a guy coming out of small Hillsdale College. He goes in the third round to Oakland. And all the success that he has had to this point, he's earned.
So here's Veld here. This is the first time that he spoke yesterday afternoon at the Cardinals facility. 6'8", 3-something, pushing it north on the Cardinals. Didn't have to do much to sell him on coming.
You know, just seeing everything that was here, seeing what Coach Arians has done and, you know, what a great direction the team's heading in. You know, there was nothing that really had to, you know, sell me more than looking at all that. And, you know, I know I can help the team, and I'm excited to be here and help.
You know, guys, this is a significant, very significant acquisition for the Cardinals. If you were to look at the history of the Cardinals over the last, I've been here 20 years, 20 plus years now. Their offensive line has always been, it seems to me, a question mark. When they have one or two spots filled, there's a couple other spots that are open. Having Veld here and to team him up with Carson Palmer from a comfortable standpoint, it's very good. It's very good. We'll step aside here, and on the other side, we'll have much more from Las Vegas. As we do our thing at the Pac-12 tournament, our coverage brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Mesa Gateway Airport, just plain easy to take Gateway on out. And also the good people at Diamond Resorts, the Polo Towers, the place to stay here in Las Vegas. Diamond Resorts says, Sesmat, we've been seeing you do your thing. We want to start partnering up with you. The Polo Towers here in Las Vegas, the place to stay. We appreciate Diamond Resorts' support, too. Back with more after this timeout, including some news on the college football front. Arizona State losing one of their starting wide receivers. He's leaving. I'll tell you who. And Chris Fowler versus Reese Davis. That story's next.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Live in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ, AZ Central Sports. Great to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. We are poolside, where they're going to have a pep rally here in a little while. I have no idea how this is going to go. This could be an absolute train wreck where I've got basketball teams and DJs and all that stuff, which is fine. It's fine. We love doing shows up here. We love being on the road. It's great to be at the MGM. Our coverage brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Mesa Gateway Airport and Diamond Resorts International. Appreciate all their support as we do our thing here at the Pac-12 tournament. Kyle Dodd will be rolling in a couple of minutes. So a couple things that are on my mind other than just here in Vegas, because we're going to talk quite a bit of basketball in a couple minutes. Chris Fowler and Brent Musburger. So on the broadcast end of things, I think a lot of you watch games, and the broadcaster himself, you may be attracted to, maybe not. You're there to watch the game. But Brent Musburger leaving the Saturday night games, Brent Musburger was a bit of a lightning rod. Were you a Brent Musburger guy, E?
No.
Okay, so and is that because why?
I've just never been a fan of his. I think his act has grown tired.
So you are looking live at the pool at the MGM Grand type of thing when he starts out?
I'm just not a fan of his style. And I think that ESPN made a smart decision bringing Chris Fowler in. But Chris and Kirk are going to see quite a bit of each other on Saturdays in the fall, sounds like.
Well,
private jets, college game day, all kinds of good stuff.
If the jet breaks down, they're hosed.
Right? You know what? I never really thought of that. Like a backup to the backup.
Right. If you and I got on a plane yesterday that didn't make it, we're
that's a
done.
Great, that's a great point. That's, you can probably find a replacement for one, yeah. But to find a complete broadcast team for two?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Chris Fowler gets named the voice of college football on Saturday nights. Brent Musburger goes to Southeast Conference Network. It's kind of interesting. Last night, Eric and I were spending some time with the executives from the Pac-12 Network. Pac-12 Network likes what Sports 360 AZ is all about. We're there with the four dealers, and they like what we're all about, too. So it was a very fun conversation as we continue to grow. And I was talking to the Pac-12 Network guys about, you know, the SEC Network is there, and they have Paul Feinbaum, who does a terrific job on building up the interest in SEC football. But there's not somebody that is Pac-12-centric like we are. And, you know, you look at Brent Musburger going to the SEC, I think Rick Neuheisel has become the face of the Pac-12 Network.
I would agree with that.
And Jake Plummer has done a nice job over there, too. But for Brent to go to the SEC Network, what I thought was interesting on that, they told Brent before the national title game that night in the broadcast booth, the executives from ESPN pulled him aside and said, hey, this is going to be your last game. You're done here. Yep. And we're going to move you over to the SEC Network.
And there were whispers that he would retire. A lot of people that didn't know the backstory were speculating on Twitter that, man, this could be Musburger's last broadcast. And he's going to be teamed with Jesse Palmer. So that's a good fit, simply because Jesse Palmer is an SEC guy. So Jesse moves from Thursday into the SEC Saturday night primetime spot.
So Chris Fowler, who, if you're a college football fan at all, on Saturday mornings, does a great job of being a traffic cop, and that's all that he does. He keeps the show together with College Game Day, which is terrific television.
And if he left, Brad, that show would not – if any of the big characters left, the show would not be nearly what it is.
Yes and no, but that's like saying when Billy Packer left CBS Basketball or Dick Vitale wasn't as prominent, that it wasn't quite the same. It's never going to be quite the same. When Keith Jackson left ABC, right, it felt different having Brent Musburger as the face and voice because Keith Jackson, this isn't a slam, he was, like, to me, an old pair of shoes that were very comfortable to put on, and he loved the game. People come and go. Someday I'm not going to be around, and people will cheer. And others will say, oh, I miss hearing that voice. It's part of broadcast.
I don't think you compare, though, a play-by-play guy to a pregame show, because College Game Day is more, it attracts more than just the diehard college football fans. I mean, you'll see on Twitter on Saturday, it's trending. People watch it, just have it on in the background.
Yeah.
So, and that, I mean, that trio has been around since 1994?
Sure, but it's like when Fox on Sunday mornings, and you and I both agree on this.
That's garbage. NFL pregame shows
are just terrible. They're geared towards middle America. Hey, no offense to those of you in Kansas listening. I just can't get into it.
Give me my fantasy football stuff and get me out. That's all I need to know.
I mean, if there's something breaking, but I don't need the syrupy feature. It's already been done on Thursday and Friday, and it was shot 3 months earlier.
Yep.
You know, they've taken the fun out of it. They have the fun. So that caught my eye today. Couple things about ASU football. So George Whitfield, who you interviewed back at the Combine, did you know he's working with Taylor Kelly?
I did not. Wow.
So George Whitfield, it sends it out on Twitter, ASU quarterback Taylor Kelly has really been impressive. He is talented and versatile. ASU quarterback working during break, George Whitfield.
Good for TK.
So, and you talked with him, George Whitfield, back at the Combine about Manny Wilkins.
I did. Talked to him a little bit about Kyle Allen. He's a huge Kyle Allen fan. He worked with Kyle at the Elite 11 camp and says that don't be surprised if Kyle goes to Texas A&M and starts right away, even as a true freshman. He's already enrolled there, so he's got a head start on learning the offense under Kevin Sumlin.
So I like hearing that about Taylor Kelly. On the other side, junior wide receiver Rick Smith has asked for his scholarship release, and he's going to transfer. I have never been – this is one of those tricky deals. I hate banging on college kids. But there comes a point where you look at a college kid and you say, he can't get the job done. Mm-hmm. Rick Smith let down ASU. And when I say let down, I mean balls in the hands that should have been caught against Notre Dame, against Stanford, in the bowl game in San Diego.
He was so inconsistent.
Yeah.
When he was good, he was lights out good. When he was bad, he couldn't catch a cold.
Rick, and so you had Jalen Strong on one side. On the other side, Rick Smith, I thought, got a little bit better after the Notre Dame disaster, but never came quite back. Bottom line is, this opens a huge hole, in my opinion, or I shouldn't say hole. It opens an opportunity for somebody in spring football camp for ASU to really move forward now. And so you're going to lose your tight end in Chris Coyle. Rick Smith leaves.
Kevin Ozier, who is a very, very dependable, good blocker, good role player, he also graduated.
So wide receiver and tight end are going to be question marks coming into this camp.
Who knows where they're going to use Demaryius Nelson. He played a little bit of H-back, a little bit of running back, a little bit of tight end. He plays everywhere, but I'm sure Ty Graham will figure out a way to get him the ball.
So that caught my eye, too. And Rick Smith is visiting Boise State today. Again, wish the young man well, but man, did he just absolutely crush this program in more than a couple of games last season. Kyle Dodd comes up next. We're going to talk with Kyle about ASU tonight against Stanford, the U of A game, and much more as we're broadcasting live poolside at the MGM Grand. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter. Thanks again to Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it's all about you. The Mesa Gateway folks, Gateway Airport is just plain easy, and Diamond Resorts International, our coverage on the road, as we're always out and about, sports360az.com.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros, facebook.com/sports360az.
Poolside at the MGM Grand, Brad Sussmat, sports360az, live at the Pac-12 tournament. In basketball, U of A, Utah coming up shortly tonight, 8:30, or depending on overtimes and delays, it could be 9:15, who knows. Kyle Dodd, Arizona State Sun Devil color analyst, former Sun Devil. What would your title be with the Basketball Academy, if I were to work that into?
Oh, I run basically the academy, you know, one of the academy directors, and do all the skills training, skill development side of the academy.
AZ Power.
Yeah, Arizona Power. I don't do anything with the club stuff. I'll help run practices and stuff, but I don't like to coach, so just skills development stuff.
He crushed my little third grader, my little 9-year-old, ran him through the wickets about a month ago. He wants to come back, by the way.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good time.
He was awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. So somebody actually is trying to tell you that this needs to move back to L.A.? Are they high? Are they drunk? Are you kidding me?
I got in a heated argument. I don't know what they're thinking, because this event right here is probably – I wasn't sure how I felt about conference tournaments, but it's kind of swayed me in the right direction. I just think such a cool event, and just the buzz from the minute you walk into the casino and just all the schools being represented, awesome.
So, but you did get booed on the elevator today.
I did get booed on the elevator, but I would expect nothing less from the people down south. And it was pretty funny. It was actually good. They tried not to let me on, and then once I was on, they booed me the entire 13 floors down. But they're well represented, I'll tell you that.
So wait a second. So the elevator door opens, and you're wearing your ASU garb, and it's full of red and blue, and they wouldn't let you on.
Yeah,
and you just said, enough of you guys, I'm getting on. And so for 13 floors, they went boo.
Yeah, they were right. It was like the student section just booing. I felt like I was playing again, but it was a good time. I told them, as I walked out, I just yelled, go Utes, over my shoulder. So we're all good.
You're all good. Yeah. Right. They're not going to be buying you a drink or anything.
No.
So, okay. Are you going to be here one night for one game? As the color analyst said, of course, Brad, I'm going to be here all the way through. But what is your gut telling you about this basketball team that can't find a way to win away from home?
That's the problem with this basketball team. Normally, I have a pretty good gut on stuff like this. I really don't know how to feel at times about this team. But I think the main thing is obviously they haven't been well, haven't played well on the road as of late, and this isn't a road game, more of a neutral site. But I think the best, you know, the thing for me is they just need to play good basketball and play hard, play with a lot of energy. When they play with energy and do all the little things, I think talent, you know, takes over. You know, they have the pieces as far as, you know, an inside guy in Jordan and a shooter in Jermaine, John Gillian, who makes shots, and obviously Jahi, we know what he can do. And I think when they play hard and do all the little things, get the 50-50 balls, a lot of the other stuff takes care of itself. And that's really what I'm looking for tonight.
What has not happened on the road? What is the deal on the road? Why aren't those things happening? Because everything you're saying is basic basketball.
Yeah.
Get 50-50 balls. Yeah. Block out, make some shots, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they've just come out a little flat. And, I mean, I, you know, on the road, I go to practices and shoot arounds, and, you know, the preparation is there. It's, you know, scouting report stuff. The coaches are doing a great job. And even the, you know, going into the Oregon game, they had the most spirited shoot around I'd seen all year. And they had a lot of energy coming off of, you know, two home wins, and they get down 15-0 in that game. And it's just, it kind of puzzles you at times. But, you know, I just keep reminding myself that they, you know, people, so many people are saying they backed into the 3 seed and they're lucky to get the 3 seed. Well, I mean, they did a lot of good things. They did enough to get the 3 seed. They earned the 3 seed by beating a bunch of good teams. So I don't worry about all that. But I think they just, for me, again, they just need to play good basketball. And I think if they do that, then we can all walk away feeling good.
Arizona State basketball color analyst Kyle Dodd, former Sun Devil, here at the MGM Grand at the Pac-12 tournament. He tonight, along with Tim Healy, will have the broadcast of the ASU and Stanford game. Matching up against Stanford, it was one thing when they played a couple weeks ago at home. It was completely another when it was up at Stanford. Break this down tonight, two or three key things or player matchups that you're looking for.
I think the big thing is, the big difference for me is they really got after Dwight Powell in Tempe. I thought Dwight Powell's a guy that's notoriously been known to just absolutely torch the Devils, and he does it with athleticism, and it's a tough matchup for Jordan and John Gillian or Eric Jacobs and whoever, you know, the bigs are, because if it's Jordan, then Powell's able to drag him out on the floor and beat him off the dribble, and if it's a four like Gillian, then Powell's, you know, much stronger and much more athletic, and he goes into the post, so he's just a really tough matchup. What I thought they did in Tempe is they really made him work. They challenged him. They picked him up early. They bumped him at, you know, when he's cutting through, and I think that's what you got to do. He's going to get numbers. You just got to make them work a little bit. And the biggest thing in Palo Alto was they didn't rebound the basketball, which has been an Achilles heel all year. And they really played decent defense. They just couldn't finish defensive possessions. So I think that's another key. It's just finishing possessions by, you know, gang rebounding, guards get in there and help on the rebounding side of things.
So, Kyle, that's on the game. But let's talk about the bigger picture for Jahi here. Jahi, in my opinion, and in talking with a lot of NBA people, has not had a great year, statistically speaking, or just even from what they had expected to see. I brought up a name to Eric from years past, Eddie Pinkney. Eddie Pinkney was at Villanova, was viewed as a late first-round pick, early second-round pick, had a great, terrific run. His draft stock made him a top 10 pick just based off of March. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the case anymore or not. But a guy like Jahi has now slipped into the second-round category. How important is the next few weeks for him?
I think it's important. I think it has changed a little bit because so much is, you know, right or wrong, so much emphasis is put into those pre-draft workouts and the combines, and, you know, Chicago has a big event and Portsmouth. But I think it's real important. I think people need to see Jahi lead his team like he's done, you know, so many times in the last couple of years. It's just a matter of him, and I expect him to be honest with you. I think Jahi's a guy that in the 2 years that we've seen him at ASU, when the lights are the brightest, he seems to put on a show, and he hasn't had a couple games this year that were uncharacteristic, and, you know, like you said, has at times not been the same player. But I think, you know, we all know what his numbers are in Vegas. It's just ridiculous. He loves playing in Las Vegas, so it should be interesting to see what he does tonight, and if they can win, make a little run, see what he does, you know, over the weekend, and then into the NCAA tournament.
Are you going to work him out
after
the year's done?
I know. I got a guy, though, that I worked with that over at Arizona Premier that used to work with us, that is his guy that he's been training him for years and stuff. And so I told him I would be happy to help him with any – he does all his skill work, but I told him I'd be happy to help him with anything on preparation for pre-draft, and kind of – I study it, so I know exactly what the drills are, what different teams are – going to do. So just if they have to use me as a resource on what to expect or any preparation, stuff like that, I'd be happy to help. And, I think he's definitely in good hands. His workout guys are good guys. As long as they know what to expect, I think they'll be all right.
What is it that he needs to improve upon in those workouts?
I think the biggest thing that people are going to challenge him is in the screener roll game. You hear a lot of people talk about Jahi not being able to go left. Jahi can go left. He has, the skill, the left-hand skill. The problem for me is he doesn't make plays going left. And in the screen and roll game, if you ever watch him going off a ball screen, a lot of times he'll just move the basketball rather than going to try to make a play going off a ball screen left. So I think that's the big thing for me is just understanding, his spots in that and improving in that. But, people talk about him going left all the time, but why would you go left or why would you need to go left if in 2 years nobody stopped you on your go-to move, which is a quick hesitation or in and out going right? And, you go to your go-to move and that's what you need to do. But I think teams are going to need to see that.
Is it let's go over to Jordan Baczynski then. I think Jordan Baczynski is going to get drafted.
Yeah.
Are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, I think, as many teams are lacking bigs right now, I think someone would take a chance on him, regardless of how he kind of finishes out the year. I think he's done enough to get on the radar, and he's a guy that alters the game defensively, which is, so key. I think people, forget it's not just the shots he blocks, but it's the shots that he affects or possessions that he affects by, he takes teams out of their stuff just by being there, just by being by the rim. And I think he's a guy that if he put some weight on and develop, a little bit more skill and get a little bit stronger, I think he's a guy that could, play at the next level.
I had a couple scouts that said the thing, one of the little intangibles about with him is he actually makes free throws for a big. And I didn't think of it as that big of a deal, but both guys said, that's one thing that we like about him.
Yeah, and that's something that he's really worked hard on, and it shows you that's a big part of his game and his growth is, early on he's really struggled from the line, and I didn't know if he'd ever be a good free throw shooter, but I just knew he had a good stroke up there. His shot looked good, his mechanics were good, and this year he's really, he's hit some big free throws too. He hit, a couple of big free throws in the U of A game, and, so he's done a nice job at the line, and that is huge when bigs can make free throws. A lot of people think that's a, good thing at the next level.
Kyle Dodd, before I let you go, ASU analyst for the game not only tonight but as ASU wins and then postseason next week. Give me a player away from ASU that you really like watching that's in the Pac-12 that we'll be seeing up here.
I love the DeLon Wright kid from Utah. I just think he does so many things. He's long, athletic. He makes plays, and he's just one of those guys that, finds a way to get it done. He puts up just a bunch of crooked numbers in that box score every night, and I really enjoy watching him. And outside of that, there's a couple guys throughout the league that I like. I can't really say it, but I really like a guy in U of A, but I like Nick, but I love TJ McConnell. I just think he's the perfect fit for that team. I think the biggest difference between U of A this year and last year is not Aaron Gordon as much as it's TJ McConnell replacing Mark Lyons. I thought Mark Lyons was a nice player and made plays, but I just think TJ runs that team. He's hard-nosed. He's the perfect guy for Sean Miller, and I just think he's the perfect point guard for that system and that, with what his surrounding parts are. I really enjoy watching him play, but I'll never admit that to anybody.
Go swim some laps.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to. It looks awesome.
This pool is begging you to go do it.
Great setup. Up here.
Have fun tonight.
Thank you.
Kyle Dodd coming by for a couple of minutes. Appreciate him spending some time with us. Brad Sussmat in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. Live before the U of A Utah game and then tonight ASU and Stanford. Our coverage in Las Vegas brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Diamond Resorts International. Appreciate Diamond Resorts International and the Polo Towers jumping on board. And Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. Back with more after this timeout. On the road, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, live at the MGM Grand Pac-12 Basketball Tournament. Our coverage brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Mesa Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport is just plain easy, and Diamond Resorts International. Stay at the Polo Towers right next to the MGM Grand. A terrific slot here in Vegas, the Polo Towers. Appreciate everyone's support. as we continue to grow this by leaps and bounds. On AZ Central, their columnist, one of their columnists, Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports, here joining us poolside.
I like how you said it the first time, the columnist.
The okay. columnist. The columnist. You know, swim some laps or?
This is unbelievable. I don't know if people appreciate what you're looking at right now. A beautiful pool, gorgeous palm trees, and then, of course, attractive women are walking by for you guys. So it's pretty nice.
Well, I could say something, but I'm not going to. You know, I'm sitting next to you, so I'm just fine.
Okay? I respect that.
I'm just fine. I'm doing my thing. There's a bunch of hunky guys, too. So there.
Maybe a few. There you go.
There you go. All right. Now we're on equal playing fields.
All right.
So you swung by Bill Frieder's suite?
Now, see, here you go, starting rumors, Brad. That's how they start. I did. I ran into Bill last night, and he was telling just a group of us about they upgrade him because everybody knows Bill Frieder. The guy is walking around here like a rock star.
Sure.
So he goes, oh, you know Frieder. You got to see the suite they put me in. And so it is unbelievable. It's like The Hangover. It had like a pool table. Right when you walk in, there's a pool table. Then two separate, you know, living quarters, even though he's here by himself. You know, a gorgeous bathroom. It was unbelievable. Near the top of the MGM Grand. Too funny.
Does Bill still command it as he walks through?
It is hilarious. Just because he was such a personality. Yeah. You know, Brad.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Absolutely. People were recognizing him left and right. Some from ASU, but a lot, I think, from his Michigan days and the success he had there and the interesting exit and all that stuff.
I just had Kyle Dodd on, and he was saying that he had a journalist last night suggesting it's time to move this event back to Los Angeles.
Oh, my. Now, sorry.
Yeah. Don't you want to whack people like that over the head?
I'm going to find out the name of that person. I can't imagine a better venue than this. And it's not just from a journalist standpoint, Brad. It's from a fan standpoint. How great that you can walk around this hotel and the lobbies and there's players everywhere. There's, you know, former coaches, a lot of personalities. It's a terrific setup.
Okay, but is ASU only going to be here one night to enjoy it?
I don't think so.
Really?
I was just, you know, telling your partner in crime, Eric Sorensen, that I think Jahi's just going to really embrace the stage. He's going to have a big game, and it's going to set the tone. Bottom line, when you have a really good point guard and you have a big man, and I know they've both struggled at times, it puts you in a position to succeed, and I think it's going to happen tonight.
Well, and they also have a very good wing.
They do indeed.
If Jermaine Marshall goes out and gets 20.
Right.
And Baczynski goes and does his go get me 12 and 10.
Right.
And you know, 3-4 blocks, because that's what he does. And if Jahi gets me about 20 and 10, I'm going to win most nights. It's where Jonathan Gilling gets me 19 in leads and scoring that they get their doors blown off because they just settle for these threes. And he drives me crazy, by the way, trying to break presses. They're going to get pressed tonight. I think Stanford is going to press them because ASU has not shown the ability outside of Jahi to handle a press.
Oh, it's a great point. And, you're right about Gilling. I think he's been frustrating for a lot of people to watch this season just because his game is somewhat limited, but he can also be of great value when he's hitting his threes and that shot is going in. He just sets, you know, he spaces the court for everybody. So there's a lot of concerns for this game, I agree. But I've just felt for the last few days ASU is going to win.
Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist here at the MGM Grand, live on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. Herb Sendek, is this a very crucial period for him? I think after the U of A game you and I spoke, you felt it was pretty much done. He's going to be back next year no matter what. Do you still feel that way?
I do, and part of it is from conversations I've had with their new athletic director who has given him a vote of confidence, and I know sometimes that's the kiss of death, but it was a legitimate, you know, he's our guy, he's going to be here next year. I think he has done enough this season, and beating U of A was obviously a huge part of that, that he'll be back next season. You know, in the public's eye, he probably still has a little bit to do, a little work to do to convince people, and a good showing, I think, in this conference tournament would help.
Ray Anderson's going to be up here, I would assume.
Yes, I'm sure. I haven't seen him here yet, but I'm sure he will be.
Yeah, and I think for him to take all of this in, this is to see all of this and how to grow the brand, because Greg Byrne, and let's switch over to U of A, Greg Byrne and U of A, there's really nothing here for them other than if they were somehow upset, they'd fall from a one seed to a two or a three. That's it. There's nothing else really here.
I saw him Monday and asked him about that, and I think a lot for him is they want to – you know, keep the momentum going after losing to Oregon, and that was a very hot Oregon team, but after losing, I think they feel like they still need to have some strong momentum going into the tournament, the NCAA tournament. They've been playing better, but I think they'd like to get another few victories under their belt.
So you went to Tucson and you talked to Aaron Gordon.
I did.
And Scottie Pippen says that he sees a little bit of himself in Aaron Gordon.
Interesting.
Do you see that?
I do, and it's been hot and cold this season because early on I'm thinking, why is this guy going to go pro?
Yeah.
But he has shown so many flashes, especially recently, of what he's capable of and his talent and how explosive he is. And I hadn't really spent much time around him, and this was only in a group press conference setting, but I was also really impressed with his maturity in these press conferences. So, I could see that analogy, absolutely.
But they're not going to be challenged here?
Oh, well, they'll be challenged, but I think they're gonna come out with a win. You know, the problem they have tonight is they're once again facing a team that's fighting for its life. I mean, that was Oregon that had something to prove, and now it's Utah that probably needs to make a tournament run to get into the postseason. So, that's their biggest battle, I think. But I think if they kind of survive this hump tonight and get over it, I think they're going to be good the rest of the tournament.
Before I let you go, a couple other things. What the Cardinals have done so far, I really like what they've done. There's no reason to dislike anything that they've done. I actually think they've been one of the winners so far in free agency. What are your views?
Yeah, no, I think they've done great. You know, the initial sort of Dansby reaction was, why did that happen? But when you look what was offered to him, you can't match that. I mean, you can't go 4 years. There's too many questions, age and everything else. And the fact that they so quickly brought in a talented offensive lineman, I thought was a very good thing, too.
And then on the Suns last night, you know, you didn't see the game.
I didn't see the game. I was flying.
We were in dinner. I wish I were flying when I saw the final score. You lose at home to Cleveland. They're now two games out of the playoffs. They are clearly doing this. I think their tongues have hit the ground. I think Dragic, for all this stuff about MVP, has just kind of worn him out. Do you think they're going to get back into this thing?
I do, but I don't. You know, I think they may just kind of barely get back into this thing. We all know they've sort of been overachieving. I mean, part of it is... all right, a lot. But they were also more talented, I think, than we gave them credit for. But there was the overachieving. But now what they've had issues of different sort of people missing, you know, like Tucker last night. And there just always seems to be a little bit of something hurting their continuity. So probably, Brad, and I think it's what you're suggesting, what they've done so well at the beginning of the season, I think they're just running out of gas a little bit. Teams that overachieve usually can't overachieve for the whole season.
And I'm not banging away on them.
No, not at all.
It's just that, look, here's the facts. And it's been a nice run. It's been a nice story. You're not going to Australia, I take it.
I am not. I will be here. I will be following the Wildcats in the tournament.
Oh, the Wildcats.
Yes.
You're not following ASU.
No, because Doug Heller will be.
I thought they're going to put the columnist with the team that's got the best chance of going all the way to Dallas. I'm not reading too much into this, right?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, we're just Doug's covered ASU all season.
Yeah,
I've done some U of A. That's why.
I see how this is going. Okay, one other thing. We got a concert that's going to start here, which will be fun.
Yeah.
So Brent Musburger, today the big story comes out that Chris Fowler has been named today to replace Brent Musburger to do the Saturday night package for ABC. I usually don't get too high or too low over announcers. I'm very pleased by this. Eric's very pleased because he loves College Game Day. I know I read often that you see things on College Game Day that you like. Were you a Musburger guy to start with, or Musburger gal to start with?
Not so much, and he lost me a little bit with his whole, that little controversy when he commented about the attractiveness of, I forgot her name. But
sure.
AJ
McCarron's girl.
Right. Yeah. The whole thing was a little bit bizarre, and it kind of signaled... Not that it was a horrible thing, but maybe Brent's time is kind of past a little bit. In this day and age, the TVs and the producers and directors and owners of stations want to stay relevant with a younger audience. And I don't know if necessarily Musburger was that guy. And I hate to say that, but I think that's part of reality.
It's kind of harsh.
It is kind of harsh. I'm kind of regretting that I said it.
Now, would you tell me if that was me?
I would absolutely tell you, Brad. You're not there at all.
Am I getting close to being at that spot? I'm not at 50 yet, but I need people that have the... Like Brent, I don't think had anybody that said, dude, you're 76. You've had a nice run. just enjoy this.
Well, and if you're, you know, if you're Vin Scully and you're at this, the best of the best, that stuff doesn't matter, you know, what you say or if you're tweeting or whatever, although Vin is tweeting, I understand. But Musburger is a very talented and has had a great career, but I don't feel like the public feels like they need him to do games, because what Vin Scully was unique, and Brent's just a really talented announcer.
Is there anybody that you do think does need to get off the air? Do you hear them like, just get him away or her away, enough?
You know, I got to be honest, I can't listen to Vital when he's doing a game. I like him as a personality, as an analyst in a studio, but even now to that extreme, it bothers me a little bit.
So. See, I agree with you on that. I think that his best days are already over. The days of Vital and Packer,
right?
You know, those days are done. And this isn't just ripping away on people. As we come into March Madness, it's like Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr leaving to go take the Knicks job as a coach. Are you kidding me? You get to sit courtside at the national title game with Greg Anthony versus going and working for James Dolan and never having been a head coach. I think Steve Kerr is somebody I would like to hear more of.
Oh, he's one of the best on there. When they have him, he's so honest and knowledgeable.
Yeah, but it's like people saying Charles's act is worn thin. I don't think his act is worn thin yet.
No, I don't think so either. And I think it's part of it is he has such a great sense of humor and he's so connected. I like Charles a lot.
Yeah, I'll let you go off that.
All right, good to see you guys.
You're going to be chatting up here, tweeting.
I'll be
anything on your site. You have this new design today.
Yeah, you know? Thanks for mentioning that. And people download your new AZ Central apps and all kinds of things going on. And I'll be doing some TV while I'm here too. I think I'm doing the 5 o'clock hit.
You're
as you
doing
people
the 5
say.
O'clock.
Yes.
Well, you're one of those people now too. So thanks
all
for coming by.
Thanks.
See ya. She's wearing red too. Should I make anything out of that as I let her go?
It's not really red.
It's kind of a U of A red.
Salmon colored.
It's kind of a U of A red. You know, there's going to be ASU people that are. You know, she thinks I stir things up. I just merely make observations. See ya. Thanks to Paul Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, coming by for a couple of minutes. She, you know, she's the one that, you know, can give you insight, like, what does Bill Frieder's suite look like? I think that's kind of fun. I kind of like that. So the MGM Grand Garden, not only are they doing these games, but they've got Rock of Ages, they've got Million Dollar Quartet of Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins impersonators. They have all this entertainment that's going on up here, too. I guess today the Blue Man Group is going to perform before one of the games. The Australian Bee Gees, the Bee Gees are supposed to perform up here, an Australian version of them. And then Cirque du Soleil and the Jabberwockies. And they're doing all this around the basketball tournament. So what they are doing is making this much, much more than just the game itself. And that's been the view of the Pac-12 conference all along, is let's make this into a party where everybody would want to roll in, where everybody would want to show up and be a part of this deal. So I think that's kind of fun. And the Jabberwockies are going to perform during Saturday's game up here. If you're planning on coming up for the tournament, There's just a lot going on up here, and I know some fans are going to do the last-minute deal as the Sun Devils and Wildcats, if they were able to advance, they'd go through it. But you're gonna check out the Jabberwockies, right? Jabberwockies are at halftime of the title game, so you're a Jabberwocky guy, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about, so no, I'm not.
Okay. The Australian Bee Gees, are you going to watch the Australian Bee Gees at halftime? Or?
Probably not.
No?
Not really into halftime
shows. Come on, what is your deal?
Here to work.
This is work.
Here to work.
We're at a pool the size of a couple of buses.
Spring break here, apparently.
Yeah.
Lots of
college kids. At the MGM Grand Hotel, sports360az.com, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussman.